Hey, good morning. We want to welcome you here. If there's any guests, we'd like to welcome you to this. In your in your church bulletin, you'll find a perforated page you could tear out, fill out, put in the offering plate so we have a record of your visit. We'd love for you to do that. Okay, we are having evening service tonight at 5:30. Brother Joe is bringing the message for us tonight. We're also having children's choir at 5:30. I'd also like to welcome back with us Dr. Walter Jackson. And he'll be bringing the message today and next Sunday. Brother Robert is and Laura are on vacation for the next 2 weeks. This Wednesday, with the youth fair going on, there will be no youth or children's activities on Wednesday. We will have a meal at 5:30, and we will have a prayer time and Bible study at 6:15. And Brother David, I believe you're bringing that for us again on Wednesday. Yes, okay. Also, choir. I didn't announce this, but I'm going to let you have the Wednesday night off too. Okay. Ooh. You can tell they're excited. Yay! Okay. At this time, Sandra Schutt's going to come up, and she has an announcement to make.
Good morning. I just want to remind you all that today is the deadline to turn in your ministry team forms. And once again, I need to tell you, if you have not, even if you were on a ministry team last year, you still need to sign up again so that we won't have to call so very many people. The ministry teams are a great way to get to know your church and the people in your church, and they're actually quite fun, most of them. We have some committees that are lacking people right now. Greeters, we only had 2 people sign up for greeters so far, and Upwards needs some people to sign up for it. And children's sermon, I think only 2 have signed up for children's sermon. So if you have an interest in any of those, please find a pamphlet and sign up. If you don't get it in for a day or two, we still have time. Just bring it by the church office. If you have any questions, I was going to tell you about standing committees. On the back, there's standing committees. And the standing committees are kind of the governing committees, and there's only like 5 or 7 or different numbers on them. And we have some positions open for a man and a woman on Upwards, and then we have some 2 positions open on the nursery. So if you would grab one of these, look at the Welcome Center, grab one, fill it out, and turn it in. I think you would enjoy being a part of a lot of these committees. They're nice to be on, good to be on. So if you have any questions, ask anybody on the ministry team or me after church. And also, if you can't remember whether you signed up or not, I have a list with me today of those who have signed up. So thank you.
Have Deacon John Schutt come and offer a prayer for us.
Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge you this morning as Lord God Almighty. Your throne is above the heavens. Your earth is your footstool. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, before your majesty and before your power. And amazingly, we can still call you our Father through the sacrifice that your Son, Christ Jesus, made on our behalf. So when we are called by you and when we believe in our hearts, we're able to claim you as our Father, our Heavenly Father. We're here now, Lord God, to worship you, to lift your name up. We ask your blessings on this congregation, that this would be a time of true worship from our hearts, Lord, that you would give your words to Brother Walter, that we would sing praises to your name in truth and in love that we have for you. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we sing our first song, Cornerstone, I do want to share a little information about it. I do want to go to the scriptures and read from Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. This is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And the reason I bring this scripture up is, before we sing Cornerstone, I also want to go to our hymn book real quick at hymn number 406, The Solid Rock. Both these songs use verses 1, 2, and 4 out of the hymn book. This song was written by Edward Smoot, and if you wonder how old this hymn is, he passed away back in 1874. So it's been around, and it's one of our great hymns. But the chorus that Edward Smoot wrote was, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." And of course, that just lines right with the words of Jesus, "If you don't build your house on the rock." Cornerstone is a more contemporary song. It's been out about 11 years, but it uses the same verses as The Solid Rock. It uses the words from Edward Smoot, but they changed the chorus. And the chorus on this song says, "Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all." Both of those choruses are great words, and they follow the scripture of Jesus here. So I just wanted to let you know that even some of our contemporary songs, they take words from the past, they take our great hymns, they just change them up, okay? And I know I've come across a few people that says, "Oh, I'm not sure about all this contemporary." Understand, when these hymns came out, our great hymns, guess what? They were contemporary at their times. And some of those songs met with some pushback on them. You know, this is great words, and I hope you take these verses to heart and also the chorus. Would you please stand as we sing Cornerstone? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seemed to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, our next two hymns, hymn number 440, if you're using your book, In the Presence of the Lord, and then we're going to be going straight into Heaven Came Down. Okay, so this is In the Presence of the Lord, we'll sing all four verses.
There is joy, there is joy, there is joy in the presence of the Lord. There is joy that's full, there is joy that's free, there is joy in the presence of the Lord. There is peace, there is peace, there is peace in the presence of the Lord. There is perfect peace when I'm with. There is peace in the presence of the Lord. There is love, there is love, there is love in the presence of the Lord. There is love so real, no matter where I feel. There is love in the presence of the Lord. Stand and sing, stand and sing, stand and sing in the presence of the Lord. Stand and sing your praise to the risen King. There is healing in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. Ushers, would you come down, please? Heaven for sure, there's a mansion sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal, His presence in hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen.
Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that is gathered here today to worship you. Thank you for this beautiful weather that we've been receiving, Lord. I pray that you would be with Brother Walter Jackson this morning, and that you would just bless him for his willingness to come and to serve and to share your word with us, Father. Thank you for our health and for all the many blessings that you've given us, Father. I pray that you would watch over those who aren't here today and that we would see them soon, Father. We love you and we thank you so much for every single blessing that you give us, Father. I pray that we could return part of that in tithes and offerings and that they would be used to the furtherment of your kingdom, that your will might be done. Father, all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to be back with you again today. I wanted to say something, if I could, to add to the committees and the team report. When she mentioned that only two people had signed up to be greeters, I really want to encourage that. Don't look at it as being a greeter. You are a minister of first impressions. You are part of the first people that are seen when somebody arrives at the church. That's a great opportunity for a smiling face, a welcoming hand, or a hug. And so I just want to encourage you in that. When I was pastoring, I loved our committees. Committees can be the lifeblood of the church. And it's a great opportunity for you to serve the Lord through your local church. So I just want to encourage you in that and sign up to be a minister of first impressions. That's the way it ought to be looked at. All right. I want you to take your Bibles and find Psalm chapter 90 this morning. Psalm chapter 90. And the title of the sermon, and I've added to it, A Perspective on Life and a Prayer. A Perspective on Life and a Prayer. And I'm going to give you a background on this sermon. Back in July, and I've shared with you before that my devotional method, whatever you want to call it, is that I read through the Bible each year. And in July, I was in this area, and especially Psalm chapter 90. And a situation had arisen where there was a conversation I was going to need to have with someone, and I was not looking forward to it. Yeah, I knew it was possibly going to be difficult. I don't like confrontations. I don't like tension and conflict and those sort of things. I avoid it at all costs. I'm the kind of guy that's just, I'll just pray enough and God will take care of it and you know, it'll go away kind of thing. But I knew I had to have this conversation. And so I was really thinking about it. It was with one of our pastors. And it was a church that I've, through the 10 years of being here, I've had a lot of opportunity to be in, teaching and preaching and this sort of thing. And so it really was bothering me regarding what had taken place. And so I was just in my daily devotional time, and one of the verses, and we'll get to the verse, I don't want to give it away yet, but one of the verses to this chapter was one of those Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 type moments. The Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. And it was that situation where this verse jumped off the page at me one morning like I'd never read it before. And it was just such a help to me. And so I was really clinging to it. It made such an impact on me. In fact, I wrote it out on my desktop calendar for August. Saw it every day in August. I wrote it in September. I even wrote it now for October. It's a new verse for me that's a great verse. And we'll get to it. Well, let you know about what happened. I had the conversation. And really kind of due to some misunderstanding on my part, a little miscommunication on his part, everything's fine. So I'll just let you know that everything worked out well. But this verse really, really comforted and encouraged me as I was going into that. And I believe it will for you also. Now, a little further along then, the end of August, we have our Texas Associational Directors of Missions big annual retreat. We have two meetings a year, a brief one in January and then a three-day one in August. And so there was about 40 directors of missions from around the state were there this year, and I was going to be presenting one of the sessions. And I was going to use this verse to wrap up, the verse we'll get to, I was going to wrap up my part of the session. Well, at the same time, I'd really been praying and asking the Lord for a new sermon. I hadn't written a new sermon in a long time. And so I'd really, really been asking the Lord, I need a new, fresh So I want a new, fresh sermon. And so just kind of felt led to go back and read chapter 90 of Psalms again. And as I did, there it came. And so the outline came through, and so the Lord really helped me and put together this new sermon that I'm excited to be able to share with you today. And so we're going to look at four passages out of this chapter on a perspective on life and a prayer, all right? So the first thing that we're going to look at is the perspective of place. Now, if I were to ask you the question, don't answer out loud, but if I were to ask you the question, where's your happy place? Where's your ideal place? Where is your place of comfort? Where's your place of refuge? Where's your hiding place? Think about that place. Where would it be that you'd go? Now, those of you that know me and Brother Robert pretty well, you know that our happy place is a golf course, right? Ideally for me, also a place in the hill country. I love that part of Texas, a nice, clear, you know, like maybe on the Pernalis River or something like that. That's just the ideal place for me. What would it be for you? Well, look with me at a different perspective on that. Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You see, for the believer, our place of help, our dwelling place, our hiding from evil, our refuge, our help from trouble is given to us right here. The Lord is that for us. Hold your place there and turn back to chapter 46 of Psalms. Psalm chapter 46. I love these few verses because, for one reason, these are the verses that inspired Martin Luther to write that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, my favorite hymn of all time. These were the verses he read that inspired that. Chapter 46, beginning of verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. See, when we pay attention to what the psalmist tells us in chapter 90, verses 1 and 2, it's that the verse tells us that God is this place for us. So it's not a building, as much as we may have comfort in coming into this place and find help in this place and those kind of things. It's more than that. It's not any definitive location. It is the very person of our God. Now, if you're ever needing some real help in this regard, make note of these. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Make note of these chapters. These are just some tremendous chapters. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 26. Look what the Bible tells us. And some of this will be very familiar to you. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Did you know that? God has named every star in the sky. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Look in chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but you will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent, for I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Then look at chapter 43, beginning in the last part of verse 10. Chapter 43, the last part of verse 10 and verse 11. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. Then chapter 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 tells us the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. See, this is the place, the perspective on place that we need to have is that it is our God that we can run to. Then verse 2, he says, before the mountains were born or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Literally, that's translated from the vanishing point to the vanishing point. From as far back in history and eternity as there is a possibility of even being able to see, God was there. From as far into the future, into eternity as you could possibly comprehend, God is there. There is no end to our God. He is our salvation. He is our help. He is our comfort. He is our strength. He is our protection. Folks, he is our God. And when this becomes a foundation of your life, when this becomes an unmovable conviction in your life and deep down in your heart, peace begins to fill your heart and your mind. An important perspective on life is knowing and having the right place to go to when you need to. And for the believer, that is a person, and that is our God. Number two, a perspective on time. Verse 4, Psalm chapter 90. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. Our God lives in a state, a constant state of present tense. Time means nothing to our God. Isaiah chapter 46, the last part of verse 9 and verse 10 says, I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning. See, he knows it all at one time, at one point. Here he says that 1,000 years is like yesterday when it passes by, or is a watch in the night. Depending on which commentary you look at, a watch in the night is defined as either 3 or 4 hours. Just that little bit of time. It's just a watch in the night. Now think about this. Those of us in the room who are over 50, does it seem like it was decades and decades ago that we were hanging out with our high school friends having a good time? It doesn't seem like that at all, does it? You look around and say, where did it go? Where did time go? I turned 60 in January. I know it's hard to believe. I turned 60 in January. I keep thinking, how did I get to 60 so fast? I remember days on the baseball field in high school like it was yesterday, and all of a sudden I'm 60 and it hurts to get out of bed every day? What happened? How quickly it went by. And in the light of eternity, our lifetime is like that. It's but a moment. Turn back in the New Testament to the book of James and see how Pastor James describes it. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. This is this idea of, boy, I got the latest and greatest idea to make a buck, and I'm gonna make my plans for the next year. I'm gonna go make a killing. It's gonna be great. Verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It's a blur. It's just a blur. And this verse is so very important in helping us have a clear and focused perspective on life and on the time of our life. And when I use that phrase, I don't mean, you know, party, it's the time of our life. No, I'm talking about the time of our life. Another great perspective on it is look at Ecclesiastes, Psalm, then you have Proverbs, and then you have Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Great statement. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You see, there needs to be, there should be a holy reverence for God that comes when we remember that He is the eternal one. Now, we have the privilege of knowing Him now. We have the privilege of walking in fellowship with Him now while we are on earth for this time of our life. And then though, to be able to spend eternity in His presence. And in that moment, life on earth will have seemed but a passing thought. Now, that also gives us hope when we're facing difficult times. These troubles and these trials and these difficult circumstances and situations that we have, that we all face, and especially those ones that seem to never go away. Are we ever going to get over this? Are we ever going to get through this? We look at the chaos around the world and around our nation and even our own state and our communities, and we wonder, is it ever going to end? Is it ever going to get better? And they seem that they're never going to end, but they will. And when they do, in that moment, it will be but a small moment in the wake of eternity. So what that says to us is don't give up. Don't give up, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how difficult your current situation might be. Keep battling even through the toughest of times. Why? Because our God knows and He sees and He is your refuge. And one day, all will be past. And then peace and joy in His glory forever and ever. So keep a proper perspective on life. Now, verse 4 then helps us see the third thing, which we find in verse 12, which is the perspective of moments. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Some, you know, go by the philosophy or the old cliche of, you know, well, life is short, live it up while you can, and that sort of thing. But realize, as James said in chapter 4, in fact, turn back there again, James chapter 4. Realize, we're not promised tomorrow. James chapter 4, what he said in 13 and 14, he follows up then with verses 15 to 17. He says, instead, and he says at 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Remember, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live. If God has grace and mercy upon me, I'll wake up tomorrow. That's the start. And then also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We ought to look at it from the perspective of the moment we have in life and understand that we need to number our days in order to live for Him in that way. And so have the perspective to live today with wisdom, making decisions and plans that will enhance tomorrow if tomorrow comes. It's good to make plans. There is nothing wrong with making plans. My wife, Lisa, and I, we've already begun to talk about that idea of retirement. You know, planning for that. How can we make it happen? How can we make it real? Are we going to get there? You know, those kind of things. It's okay. It's good to make plans in that regard. But what we need to be doing is making the most of today in a way that will make for a better tomorrow. I used to say to our kids when they were teenagers, I'd like to say it to them now while they're adults too, but they didn't listen to me as teenagers, so why would they listen as adults? But I used to like to say to them, and so I say to you, listen, young people, hear me. Young people in the room today, hear me. Don't do stupid. Seriously, don't get stupid. Don't do stupid. Now, what do I mean by that? Don't make decisions based on what may be the thrill or the pleasure of the next 5 to 15 minutes that has the potential of ruining the next 5 to 15 years of your life or more. Think about it. Don't do stupid. It's not worth it. Plan your days according to the wisdom and the understanding that God gives us in order to live with Him and for Him and experience and see His glory. That is what is worth it. Why? Because there is a number to our days, every one of us. So don't waste them. Don't waste them. Have the proper perspective on moments. So then we come to the verse that started all of this. And the perspective on a lasting impact. And I've also said this is the prayer. This is the prayer. Here's what it comes to. This is that verse that jumped off the page at me back in July. In our living, this moment, and every future moment and day that the Lord may give us, in your ministry, in your personal ministry, and in your together, your corporate church ministry. Verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. This is the prayer. This is to be the prayer for the things that you have seen God do, for the lives that you have seen changed, for the comfort that's been given, for the miracles that have been experienced, for the encouragement that has been shared, that the Lord would confirm it. What has you have seen Him do, that He would confirm it. But not just that, but now moving into the future and looking to the days ahead, Lord, for the lives that will be changed through the ministries of this church, through your personal ministry, through the comfort that will be given, through the miracles that will be experienced, for the encouragement that will be shared, that the Lord would confirm it. Now listen, though, here's where it gets good. You see, the word confirm means give permanence to. Give permanence to. Yes, Lord, give permanence to the work of our hands. See, this is why this verse meant so much to me in the situation that I was going into and talking to that pastor of that particular church, because I'd had such ministry there over the last 10 years and thinking, was it all for nothing? And the Lord said, oh no, we're going to give permanence. Lord, give permanence to the work. Let it not be for nothing, Lord. Now, Let me share with you a little bit, because I asked your church secretaries to look into something for me, and they passed it on to Jan, and she shared this on with me, and it's Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Season. So let me show you how this verse can have so much power for you and encouragement for you as you move forward and as you pray, Lord, give permanence to the work of our hands. Big picture. Back, I believe it was in 2017, I had the privilege of going to Ecuador with Samaritan's Purse to deliver shoeboxes. And there was one particular little community that we went to up on the side of a mountain. And when they got their shoeboxes, there were about 50 children who came and got shoeboxes at their outreach event, they call it. Well, this church had already done that, and so now they were doing the discipleship, the greatest journey, follow-up with that regard. And they had 50 at the initial shoebox giveaway, but they had 108 children sign up to go through the Greatest Journey discipleship class. Now you think, well, that's pretty impressive. Oh, let me tell you the impressive part. There were only 120 children in the whole village. Now think about your impact. Best Jan could figure, y'all have been doing shoeboxes since 2005. Since 2017, she had the records. From 2017 through last year, you've done 2,261 shoeboxes. Your goal this year is 600. So I did some checking. Well, let me give you a few more statistics before I really give you that. Since 2009, 14.9 million children report decisions for Christ worldwide while going through the Greatest Journey discipleship program. That's the follow-up after the shoeboxes are handed out. 2021, 10.5 million boxes were given out through 81,000 different outreach events around the world. All right, now think about this. They say that for every shoebox, 10 people are impacted from one shoebox. See, because these kids take them home, and then brother and sister, older brother and sister, and mom and dad, and grandparents, and aunts and uncles, and all get impacted by this. For every one shoebox, 10 people are impacted. What that means is that since 2017, you have had an impact on possibly 22,610 people around the world. They also say that for every 6 shoeboxes given out, a child reports a decision for Christ, which means that it's very possible, probably more than this, through the ministry of your church in shoebox ministry, 3,768 at least decisions for Christ. This year, your goal is 600. That's the potential impact of 6,000 people. Now you look at verse 17 of Psalms. And you say, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and give permanence to the work of our hands. Yes, give permanence to the work of our hands. When you're putting that shoebox together and you're putting those items together, and you may think about it sometimes, like, oh, I got a little extra space, let me run back down to the dollar store and cram some more stuff in here. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's the Lord using you, and what you do is you hold that shoebox, as you pray for that shoebox, as you send that shoebox off, God give permanence to what you do in the ministry and the life that is touched because of the child that opens up this shoebox. See, you pray that so that the things like that, ministries like that, won't be like the typical summer camp experience. The kids go off to summer camp and they come back fired up, and 2 weeks later everything's back to normal. That's not to be the prayer. The prayer is to be, Lord, give permanence to the work of our hands so that lives are forever changed. And so that's the prayer of this church. That's to be the prayer of every believer. That's the perspective and the prayer on life that we need to have, folks, so that we look back at what has been done and God is confirming and giving permanence to it, and then things that He will yet do in the future in your life and through your life. He will give permanence to it so that lives are forever changed. That's the ministry that God wants you to have. I want to encourage you in that, folks. You need to look up. You need to look up and trust. You need to look up and serve. You need to look up and be surrendered and humble before the Lord and say, God, we want you to use us so that what you do through us will last and make a difference. And our world is desperately, your community is desperately in need of God doing a permanent work in lives, isn't He? Would you make that your prayer as you understand the perspective on life? God, give permanence to the things that I do for your glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the difference it makes in my life. I thank you for the difference it makes in other lives, the people in this room, Lord, today. I pray that you will remind us that we have but a moment in time in this life, and that we need to make it count. And Lord, that we need to seek you in the things that we do and pray and ask you, Lord, fervently, with the things that we do and the ministries that we're involved in and others' lives that are being touched, Lord, that you would give permanence to those things. In this local church, in this local community, and then through them, using, Lord, the ministry and the example of the shoeboxes to reach people around the world for your glory. So God, I pray, encourage folks this morning. Remind them this is how you desire to use them. Remind them that their time is important, that their life is important, and that you are to be our perspective. Now, Lord, I would pray today too, because there may be someone in this room today that's got a selfish perspective. They've just never thought outside themselves. Not that they're mean or ugly about it. They just never have thought much more than that. Lord, maybe today your Holy Spirit has already been dealing with them, and as they've seen this or heard this from your word today, these verses of Scripture, they realize they've had a wrong perspective on life. It's been all about themselves, and it needs to be about you. And they've never, to this point, asked you to forgive them of their sin, to come into their heart, for you to be their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I would pray that today might be the day they're ready to do that. They're ready to say yes to you, and that you would give permanence to the rest of their life in walking with you. So if there's someone in this room today, Father, I pray, that needs to do that, in just a moment, as Brother Houston comes up and leads us in an invitation, him and one of the deacons of this church will be here at the front, that you would give that person the courage, the boldness to just come forward. And all I have to say to him is, I need Jesus. And he'll know what that means. Or maybe they just have the courage to turn to someone close by them and say, I need Jesus. And we could help them today understand what that means and begin their life with you. A personal, loving, intimate, growing, and eternal relationship with you. And Father, for those that need to be reminded about it, thank you for reminding us. So God, do in us this morning what we need to have done in us and what only you can do. And for that, we'll praise you. For that, we'll give you all the glory and thank you for it. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, if you would. Brother Houston's going to, he's already here and ready to lead an invitation in. God dealing with you. One of the men, I believe, Brother Joe's coming. Good. Brother Joe will be here. If you need to come and see him today or someone close by you know you can trust and talk to, listen, reach out to them. If God's dealing with you in your life today, don't leave here today without getting that settled with him as we sing.
One more verse. Altar's open. Joe's here. If you'd like to come have a word or express a decision or just have somebody pray with you, please do whatever the Lord has on your heart.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Brother Walter, thank you for coming to share your word, and please greet him as he leaves and let him know our thanks for him coming. Let's pray, please. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you for everybody that's here in this house today. Lord, we ask you to be with those that are not with our congregation today. For whatever their reasons are, Father, they may be traveling. Father, we just ask that you give them safe travel and also be with those that may be sick or hurting some other way, Father. Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us. And Lord, we especially appreciate the sacrifice that you made on the cross. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, we just ask that you bring us back to your house again. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go, let's sing The Family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family, the family of God.
God bless.